why is Mercy the best support? Because she has high heels. Welcome to Weekly News Desk for that the week joke. Of... Just let me get through the intro. God.
That joke.
To the week of February 25th, 2017, I am Simon Atwell, and as always, I'm joined by...
Andrew Doop.
Okay, now you can speak. You shouldn't speak before you introduce. Come on.
That
Come
joke, on.
Professional.
Man. Ah, professional, special. That joke, I made that joke the other day.
Really?
Yeah, it was like, why does Mercy have high heels on? What is this for? I'm like, well, she's a good healer. She's got high heels.
Yeah.
And it was beautiful. It's a good joke. I'm proud of myself.
It is ridiculous that she wears high heels, though. Mind you, she can basically fly, so maybe it doesn't really matter.
Yeah.
I know there's another character who does action-y things. I don't know, remember if it was a movie or a TV show or if it was a game of some kind, but I know there was just wore high heels, and I was like, why? This is ridiculous.
It's a lot of them.
You can't do action in high heels. You can't run in high heels, even. I mean, not that I've ever tried, but I bet I couldn't walk.
I bet I couldn't either. Well, I'm curious to try.
Well, we'd have to get big ones and make sure they were like the ones invented in the movie Kinky Boots.
For yeah.
People a little heavier set, a little larger. It's a good movie. Everybody should watch it. It's got the, what the hell? Not the agent. Was he the agent?
Agent.
I don't think it was Agent. I'm sure it was something else.
Well, it wasn't Inquisitor.
No, that's all that's in my head because I've been watching Star Wars Rebels with Erica. Anyway.
Operative.
Operative. That's
the operative.
It. From Serenity, the movie.
Which is
Chiwetula Ejiofor, or something near that name.
Sci-fi names, guys.
The actors. That's the actor's name.
Sci-fi names, though.
Oh, you mean names of actors in sci-fi?
Hmm.
It's fair. He was also somebody in Doctor Strange.
I
haven't seen Doctor Strange yet. Still,
so. he was the other guy who's with Doctor Strange.
He was the other guy. He helped him.
Character.
Mm-hmm. Mordo, was he Mordo?
Yeah, that's it. Thank you.
And in 12 Years a Slave, which I haven't seen either.
And in anyway. Many other things.
Anyway, let's stop running down his IMDb list
from our heads.
From our heads, and let's get into movie news. Movies. All right. So first up, we have Han Solo Takes Off. So basically, production has started on the still untitled Han Solo Solo movie.
Solo.
And the studio released a full shot of the cast, and there's literally three people I recognize.
Yeah.
And not one of them is Aaron Reich, whatever his first name is. The guy playing Han Solo. I was like, oh, I forget what this guy looks like.
Yeah, me too.
I know I looked it up. But it's a shot of them all grouped in the
cockpit. Falcon.
The cockpit of the Falcon. Yeah, Donald Glover on one side. And, oh my god, why have I blanked on his name? On the left side, Harrelson. Woody Harrelson. I was thinking Will, and I was like, that's it, that's wrong.
And Mother of Dragons in the middle?
In the middle, yep, straight in the middle.
Emily Clark?
Amelia
Clark?
Yeah.
That was close.
You were very close. It is weird. It took me a second because blonde, I'm used to her. I know she's not blonde.
Yeah.
But I'm very used to her blonde from Game of Thrones. I haven't seen the Terminator movie she did yet because I don't think I have a Will.
Probably.
And then, you know, there's a long blah, blah, blah from Phil Lord and Christopher Miller, who are directors, about how they're excited about it.
Chewbacca's in the background.
Chewbacca is in the background. Played by Junus Suotamo, not by Peter Mayhew, which I thought was interesting.
That's the same guy who did it in Force Awakens, though, yeah?
I don't know who did it in Force Awakens.
I believe it's that one. It's some weird name that sounds like that one.
It wasn't Peter Mayhew? That's weird.
Well, it was both. But for, like, the running and stuff.
Oh.
Yeah.
A little more athletic, because Peter Mayhew's kind of getting up there in age.
Yeah, he pretty much needs a cane. Because he is up there in age and is very tall.
Large.
Very, very tall.
Which brings its own health issues, yeah. But it's excited. They're started. That means we'll get it next year, right? Yes, next year.
Yeah. And, actually, the cool thing about that, the date for next year is not December.
Oh, right. No, it's May 25th so far. so far. But for this movie that coming out this year, it was supposed to be summer too. Just the actual episode 8.
Yeah, as far as I know.
Rogue One. One of them was supposed to summer and got pushed back to winter. I know that for a fact.
One probably Rogue One then.
One of them got pushed back to winter.
Yeah, who knows?
So this could all get pushed back. It's a full year away. But so far, yes, it is slated for May 25th, 2018. And man, this article lists everybody you could ever want to know worked on it.
Yep. Everybody.
Director of photography, editors, sound effects supervisors,
action visual designer, effects supervisors.
It's ridiculous. I'm like, okay.
Prop master,
getting
hair,
a little, getting a little makeup into the list of people here. Although, it is good, interesting to know that it's going to be written by Lawrence and John Kasdan.
Yep.
Which is good. Lawrence Kasdan writes the best Star Wars stuff. And that's a fact. All right, I guess we'll go on to our next point, because we could probably talk about that forever if we wanted to. We could fill an hour on just Han Solo movie talk.
And then go right off into the rest of Star Wars for the rest of hours and eternity.
Pretty much. All right, so next up we have Batman is redirected. So this has been sort of rumored for a while that Matt Reeves was in talks to direct The Batman. And it has now officially been announced that he's going to direct The Batman.
Woo!
I also heard a rumor that the things broke down and they still don't have a director. And then, well, obviously that did not happen. This is why I don't put stock in nor report on rumors. Depending on where they come from, actually.
Right.
So, this guy, Matt Reeves, he did Dawn of the Planet of the Apes and War for the Planet of the Apes. He directed that.
Which one was the first one?
Dawn of the Planet of the Apes.
Okay.
That's, you know, because Dawn.
There's only been two, yeah?
I don't know. I didn't watch them. I mean, I think there was a redo of Planet of the Apes. And then there was Dawn of the Planet of the Apes with James Franco and Andy Serkis.
That's all reboot, right?
Yeah. Well, yeah. There's the really old Planet of the Apes. From before we were alive, I think.
Carry on.
And what was I? All right. He's also done Cloverfield. That was another thing he did. But I don't think we'll see found footage style directing in The Batman.
Well, that'd be kind of cool. Just some guy in the ground.
Scenes. Just a couple of scenes.
Whips out his phone and he's like, "Oh my god, look, it's the Batman!" And actually, fighting.
For a scene or two. Yeah, I could see that.
I could see that doing good.
And I mean, I think Planet of the Apes, well, not technically a sort of superhero comic book property, I think is a good. It's got action, and also drama.
Yeah.
You know.
And it's kind of like bigger, outlandish kind of scale.
Hmm. This is all fact.
Anything Batman can do, a gorilla can do.
Better?
Better? No, I wouldn't say better. But,
anything gorilla can anything do, Batman.
Batman can do better than gorilla, I will say.
So, we still don't have a release date on the Batman yet. Since
the Batman.
They're sort of still ironing a little bit out, I think. In, you know, with the director switching and all that stuff.
Yep.
But don't worry, you'll find out right here when the Batman gets a release date.
Don't touch that dial.
I don't think they have dials anymore. I know old iPods used to, but I think that was just volume, wasn't it?
No, it was everything.
Was that?
That's how you navigated.
I never had an old iPod.
I did. Second gen iPod.
I just know that you ran your
you do the
thumb
circle
around the circle and it did a thing.
Yeah, and then it had a middle button. Man, that thing's cool. Nostalgia.
All right, let's, speaking of nostalgia, no, not really. Let's move on to the next thing, which is Nightwing already? Question mark? So, when they announced that Matt Reeves would direct The Batman, the studio also casually mentioned, this would be Warner Brothers, casually mentioned that they were going to be planning on working on a live-action Nightwing movie.
Cool.
Which is very interesting. I know some people are like, but we haven't seen Robin yet in this reboot universe. Man of Steel, Batman v Superman, but we did see the costume.
Yeah.
With the Joker, which means Jason Todd already happened, which means Dick Grayson is Nightwing, already happened because he was before Jason Todd. Dick Grayson was the first one. Jason Todd was the second one. And the third one was Tim Drake. And then there was the lady one in The Dark Knight Returns. But I don't remember her name.
Lady Robin.
I'm not going to remember her name at all. That's good. I like Nightwing. And I mean, they did, this is kind of sort of the same thing they did with Suicide Squad, where, yeah, we haven't really introduced any of these supervillains yet, but hey, they're here, they exist.
Yeah, we get it. It's Batman.
Yeah.
Batman is so ingrained in pop culture and even, like, casual cinema at this point.
I don't think it's too much of a stretch,
like, really. We get the point. Batman's parents are dead.
I still think I like how they did it in Batman v Superman. It was like, okay, look, here it is, then we're done. We're not focusing on it. Here it is, you see it, go.
It's not an opening scene, boom, opening scene.
I know
scene,
a lot of people would have preferred it not be there at all, but I think if you're making a new Batman actor, you do have to do it. But yeah, it should be quick.
Yeah.
It should not be focused. We don't need to flash back to it. I think we flash back to it a little too much, even in that movie.
Yes.
But
we flash back to it more than once.
Yeah.
That's too much.
It is too much at this point in Batman. It. Yeah.
There's two things we know about Batman. He is the knight, and his parents are dead.
No parents. Super rich.
You know what Batman movie didn't have that scene in it?
The Lego Batman movie.
Props.
Also, apparently, speaking of the Lego Batman movie, there's some variety reports that Chris McKay, the director of the Lego Batman movie, is in negotiations to direct Nightwing. But that's very early rumory stuff, so I don't know how much stock he put in, right? But it was a popular movie, and it's technically a Batman movie, so why not?
It's one of my favorite Batman movies.
As it stands right now, Bill Duberk, who wrote The Accountant, has been tapped to write the Nightwing movie.
Interesting.
Which is, yeah, interesting. Because, I mean, I've never seen The Accountant, but it's not very comic booky. It's not very superhero. But this is the credit they gave him here, so I don't know what else he's written. But I like Nightwing. I like the idea of doing a Nightwing standalone if he's in Bloodhaven. Or he has to go. Maybe he has to go. I don't think. I think it would diminish the standaloneness if he had to go back to Gotham and help Batman or something.
Yeah.
I think he needs to be in Bloodhaven already. Yeah. Being his Bloodhaven's superhero.
But probably some intro stuff.
Yeah, or connecting a little bit at the beginning. Yeah. And then Bloodhaven.
What is that, a framing device?
I don't know.
Is that what you would call it probably. In movie theory?
Probably. That sounds right. That sounds probable. Framing. I like pictures.
It's either a framing device or a setup. Something.
I don't know, man. I don't know.
Things have names.
Things do have names, but we don't know them.
In theory, there's theory.
It's fact. I know. I know some theories, but I don't know this one. This is not a theory that I know. I'm not a writer. I ignored any writing thing.
Yeah.
Or that kind of thing when I was in college for theater. That was not a thing I cared about. I don't know if we even talked about it.
I was in English.
That's probably why, yeah. English would definitely talk about it.
I liked English.
I mean, we took English, but it was, you know, just English class. All right. Now, this we'll move on to our next thing, which I kind of like the sound of. It's sort of interesting. So, we've got a new script being shopped around from, written by Pete Berry, who I do not know, but it's called Marion. And effectively, here, let me read the blurb on it. When a conspiracy to conquer England leads to the assassination of Robin Hood before her very eyes, Marion must rise to power and lead her people into a war that will not only decide the fate of her kingdom, but will see her don the mantle of the man she loved and reimagine the story of a legend we thought we knew. I mean, I like any sort of Robin Hood story, and I like this sort of a twist/stint look at it.
Yeah.
Had you ever seen the BBC Robin Hood show?
I have not yet, no.
The Marion in that, the actress was Lucy something, I don't remember. She well, did not take up Robin Hood, because Robin Hood did not die, but she was her own sort of, she was a masked fighter as well.
That's cool.
That, so she wasn't just, but she was also the Maid Marian to the public, but she'd also go out and do Robin Hood-y things. Sometimes with Robin Hood, sometimes on her own. So that was a very good show, and I think that was a very good Marian. We don't know, obviously, this is very early. We don't even know. It's not really, it's not, it's almost definitely going to be picked up. It's not being picked up by any particular studio yet, but from a couple of places we've heard that the guy who's selling it is very good at selling scripts. Plus, everybody loves Robin Hood.
Yeah.
And as this article that I'm reading points out in a kind of asshole way, because this website always writes like an asshole, female lead movies are being big right now, being pushed hard.
Which is true.
Which is true. So it's probably going to happen. It's almost definitely going to happen. And I'd watch it.
I'd watch it.
I'd watch anything. Anything set in that era, pretty much, in England, I will watch.
Like that that sweet movie that's... I hope I hadn't missed it.
What?
Yeah, King Arthur.
No, yeah, the guy...
the guy Richie.
Guy Richie, King Arthur.
Yeah.
With Charlie Hunnam. With, what's his name from... I don't remember his character name in Pacific Rim.
Oh, man. Character names?
in that movie?
Character names, right.
Gypsy Danger was the character name.
Cherno Alpha.
Yeah, you're right. Those are the important character names.
Striker Eureka.
Those are the important names in the Pacific Rim.
Knifehead.
Oh, right, the kaiju names.
Yeah.
Yeah, but no, Charlie Hunnam is the main guy from Pacific Rim. And so he's the one in that movie. The King Arthur movie.
Yeah, and I want to see it.
Me too. I forgot about it until right now. I now kind of want to look it up, but I shouldn't because we're already recording and...
And this is not relevant.
Not relevant.
Well, I mean, tangentially. Just like anything we talk about.
We've already spent, not on the mic, but we spent a long time getting this recording going. So.
Yes, it has been interesting production day.
So let's move on to television.
Télé Français.
Télé Français. Actually, no, it's not. It's Starz, which is an American network.
Stop.
Speaking of American, Andrew, did you ever read American Gods?
Actually, weirdly enough, I did just finish the audiobook like 2 days ago.
I actually haven't. I want to. I've still never gotten around to reading it. I'm a terrible person.
The audiobook is really good. It's like a full cast recording.
Oh, nice.
And
that's a cool way to do it. I like it when they do those ones.
Neil Gaiman reads a lot of his audiobooks.
Yes.
And he does a whole bunch of different segments in this book that are like... Preludes,
that's a word.
I believe.
Preludes also could be called prequels, kind of. It's the same idea.
It's
not quite the same idea.
Prologue? Nope. It is a...
Don't know then.
Intermission?
Interstitial?
It's the thing that happens between the story, the main story.
It's probably an interstitial.
It could be.
An interstitial is a thing that happens between two major parts. You could call commercials interstitials, kind of.
It's been a long time since English. Let's just say that. It has a word. There's theory. Boom.
Anyway.
The bit's in the middle. And he's actually a really good reader.
Anyway. Just get back to this God-filled release date. So Starz has announced that we will only see the live-action adaptation of American Gods. And it will hit Starz April 30th.
And some of this show was filmed in our own Cambridge.
Oh, was it?
Yep. Right in Caitlin's work.
Oh, right. And she's... Wait, who was it who came in?
Ian McShane. And the main character...
All British.
Who plays Shadow.
And that'd be Ricky Whittle. Shadow Moon. I'm going to get to that in a minute.
Oh, okay.
All the awesome actors in this movie. Right, I remember Caitlin saying that he was all British and awesome, Ian McShane.
Yeah. Also, after... going through this audiobook, Ian McShane is amazing casting for this. It is spot, and same with the Shadow guy,
Shadow Moon.
Yeah,
I don't know who Ricky Whittle is. Never heard of him.
He was in The 100.
Never watched it.
He was in The 100.
Okay, so I mean, do we want to... I guess we should tell people what American Gods is about.
We could.
I mean, I even know, and I haven't read the book. Anyway, so, American Gods. There is a new... a different kind of war coming, and one between old gods and new. So, effectively, Shadow Moon is an ex-con who... His wife recently died, and he doesn't really know what to do, so he becomes a bodyguard for Mr. Wednesday.
Yep.
But Mr. Wednesday, who I'm doing quotation marks with my hands, is an old god on a cross-country mission to build an army and reclaim his lost glory, basically. So, gods.
It's a cool story.
It's a very popular book. People love it. I just haven't gotten around to watch it. And it was written by Neil Gaiman, so people love Neil Gaiman. For good reason.
Yeah.
All right, so let's talk about the cast here, because the cast is pretty great.
It is pretty great.
You got Ricky Whittle, as mentioned, as Shadow Moon. Ian McShane, who's always awesome, as Mr. Wednesday.
But he's going to be extra awesome in this, and I cannot wait.
Emily Browning as Laura Boone. Moon. I assume the wife who dies.
Yep.
And Pablo Schreiber as Matt Sweeney. I do not know who Pablo Schreiber is.
I don't either.
Okay, so we got, also, this article is really, it's like, one paragraph has those four, and the next paragraph has four more, and the paragraph after that has, like, six more casts, so just bear with me as I read through them. There's a couple of other people, Yitaid Badaki and Bruce Langley, who I've never heard of. But then we got Crispin Glover as Mr. World, who is great. Yes. Also, he's going from Mr. Robot to Mr. World, apparently, because he's Mr. Robot and Mr. Robot. And Orlando Jones... as Mr. Nancy. Orlando Jones, man. I don't know the last time I saw Orlando Jones in anything. Do you? Like, really, I don't know the last time. I kind of want to look him up on IMDb now. Cause what was the last time you saw Orlando Jones?
Because I don't know.
I know I like him, but I don't remember seeing him in, like, 10 years. Oh, he was on Sleepy Hollow. I never watched that. He was on Roughness. Yeah, no, not, like, none of this. Oh, he was in Cirque de Freak, the vampire's assistant. I saw that. I rented it from Blockbuster.
Wow.
I rented it from Blockbuster, I'm pretty sure.
That is a different age.
I don't know the last time I actually seen him, though. It's a long time. I'm back in... I met now at 2005. Oh, he was in Halo 2. Did you know that, Andrew?
I didn't.
He was a Marine Sergeant.
Oh, well, that explains it.
Okay, it's been a long time. I'm back into, like, the 90s. It's been a long time since we've seen Orlando Jones in a main role. So that'll be nice.
He's a cool character.
Sure, if you say so.
They're all cool characters.
And then my third paragraph with even more people, Gillian Anderson, Kristen Chenoweth, who I assume must be new gods, judging by their names of not starting with Mr. or Mrs.
Yeah.
Media and Easter. Easter's a weird one. Media, I get as a new god. Easter's a weird one. I don't understand.
Easter's an old one.
Oh, just is it?
A new name.
Oh, a new name. Okay.
Just kind of like Wednesday, you know?
Yeah. We have Jonathan Tucker, who I don't think I've heard of. Cloris Leachman, who's great. That's just fantastic. And that's a great character name.
Zoria. Vechernaya?
Yeah. Vechernaya? Yeah.
Yeah. Which I know because audiobooks.
Audiobooks, yeah. But can you pronounce Peter Stormare's character name?
Yeah. Chernabog.
That's pretty easy, actually.
Also, audiobooks.
Also, Peter Stormare. Come on. How awesome is that?
Peter Stormare is going to be great in this.
Who was also in John Wick 2?
Yeah.
Just going to throw that out there.
He will still have a Russian accent.
Yeah. Doesn't mind that character name, yeah.
Yeah. Very Russian.
Chris Obi, who I have not heard of, but he's clearly playing an old god who didn't even take a new name. It's just Anubis.
Yeah.
Actually, I think Chernobog is an old god name, too. I've heard the name.
It is, yeah.
And then Damor Barnes, who I don't know, I've never heard of. Mosa Kreish? Kreish, perhaps, was another person I've never heard of. As the Djinn. I like that. The Djinn. It's a good character name. And... very awesome that I like. This is Corbin Burnson, who is a fantastic actor. He used to be on, was it Night Court he was on back in the day? But he was also on Psych. Corbin Burnson's great.
Go ahead and tell you.
And he's going to be Vulcan, who's also apparently an old god who just didn't change his name. That's what volcanoes are named after. According to Doctor Who. I don't know if that's actual true. So volcanic. Actually, person playing the Doctor said that line when he was not the Doctor.
Right.
It was a Capaldi.
And Pompey. Line.
And Pompey.
Pompey.
So yeah, this is gonna be awesome.
It will be.
Great casting, lots of great actors, lots of actors, period. And April 30th, mark your day planners.
You mark your day planner.
Alright, let's move on to, speaking of Doctor Who, it was good. I wish I could have remembered that Doctor Who was my next point, even though I'm the one who wrote it.
Boy, it would have been a good transition.
It would have been a great transition, if only I was looking at my notes at that time. So we got a Doctor Who, they're calling it a companion trailer, I'm calling it a teaser, and a release date. I'm going to leave that link to the YouTube thing. I think it's our first look at, what's her name? The new companion, I can't remember her name now. But most importantly, Doctor Who is coming back to BBC America on April 15th. So there's another thing you need to make a day planner for.
Yes. In
Capaldi's last season. With a new companion, and the teaser trailer still had the guy from the last two Christmas episodes.
Mm-hmm.
So he's still there, at least probably for the first episode. Who knows?
This is the first shot we see of the girl.
I think it's the first we've seen of her. Maybe we might have seen pictures, like but I think it's the first time we've seen her. Unless she's in the Christmas episode, as I haven't watched it. But as far as I know, it's our first introduction to new companion, whose name I've forgotten.
Just feel like we've seen her in pictures and stuff for so long.
Wow, it's been a long time.
Yeah.
Since, because there was like a full year between Clara leaving, and then there's the two Christmas episodes.
It's true.
It's been a long time. But Mercury Day Planner, April 15th, I'll be there. Will you be there? That was just a general question. Not to you, Andrew. It was a general question to the audience.
Okay.
You don't have to answer. I know you'll be there.
Does that count as rhetorical?
No, because I want people to email and comment. Action? It was a call to action. Yes. All right, let's move into games.
Gems.
So let's start, Andrew. Should we start with the Dice Awards?
You bet we should start with the Dice Awards.
I wish this article I had didn't start with the big one, but the big one should be at the end of the list.
Well, this list, I think, doesn't start with the big one. Seems to have the big one...
somewhere in the middle?
Yeah, it's at the end. Okay, we're using mine.
Okay, well, we're using yours. Go for it.
Okay, so we're starting with Outstanding Achievement in Animation, Uncharted 4, The Thief's End. Outstanding Achievement in Art Direction, Inside.
I agree with that one. I've never played Uncharted 4, so I can't credit to its animation, but I've seen Inside. I would agree with Game Direction. It's amazing.
Yeah. Outstanding Achievement in Character, The Last Guardian for Trico, which I think, from what I've heard and seen, makes sense because it doesn't talk or anything.
It's funny, I saw a little bit of it on, like, I think it was IGN was doing an interview, and when he won, they asked him, like, what his favorite character, video game character was, and the guy who accepted the award, I don't know who it was exactly, but he said his favorite video game character was Lemmings. I was like, what? Awesome.
Awesome. Outstanding Achievement in Original Music Composition, Doom, which is,
haven't played it, don't know.
Amazing. So good. Outstanding Achievement in Sound Design, Battlefield 1. Yes. Probably. All the yes. It's so good. Outstanding Achievement in Story, Uncharted 4, Thief's End. Yeah, I'll buy that.
I mean, comparative to perhaps Firewatch, Inside, I don't even know the other two. What's Oxenfree and That Dragon? Oh, That Dragon Cancer actually didn't win that? So that was apparently a real deep, serious thing. That's kind of impressive and surprising, but Firewatch and Inside, I don't know that are super intense stories. I mean, Firewatch, yes, there's stories there, but it's not really the main reason you play it.
Well,
it's
one of those. Kind of is, too. It is
yes and no.
Both is and isn't.
Yeah, it's a weird one.
But not saying that it's bad, it's just...
No, it's not. No, neither am I. I'm just saying I don't think it would win Outstanding Achievement Story. Anyway.
Outstanding technical achievement, Uncharted 4, which I will also buy because that game looks and runs real nice.
That was on a, I mean, that must have been a close one,
though. Limited hardware.
Yeah, I guess. That must have been a close one, though. At BF1, No Man's Sky, who, for everything else, that game apparently ran and was fun to do. There just apparently wasn't much to do in it.
I think thing's got a leg up because what it did to the Sony hardware, it's only exclusive here. So it didn't have to worry about cross-platform, and it can only just focus on doubling down on the Sony hardware. Mm-hmm. Action game of the year, Overwatch.
Obviously.
A duh.
Obviously.
Adventure game of the year, Uncharted 4.
Also obvious.
At this point, duh.
Yeah. I think those last two names walked away with like 7 or 8 awards.
Probably. Family game of the year, Ratchet and Clank.
Yeah.
Is that a family game?
Sure. You're breaking up robots. You're saving the world. Why not?
I don't know.
I mean, you got Lego Star Wars The Force Awakens. Is that a family game? Because it's Lego?
Yeah. Fighting game of the year, Street Fighter 5.
Nah, it should have been Pokken Tournament, clearly.
Should have been Pokken Tournament. I feel like that's been out forever now.
Yeah, me too. But that's just because we got it, like, day one.
Weird.
Anyway.
Racing game of the year. Real.
I love that there's two games.
Two games game of the year. We got Drive Club VR and Forza Horizon 3.
Jeez. Forza Horizon. Forza Horizon.
Forza 7. Forza Horizon.
Yeah, 3. Anyway, they won. Horizon 3.
That wasn't even like a challenge.
No, probably not.
Role playing game slash massively multiplayer game of the year. Dark Souls 3. Which is real good. But
it's a weird category that they're putting MMOs with RPGs.
Yeah, because they're not really like directly comparable, I don't think.
No, not single-player RPGs. I don't think they're either. Oh, I forgot the Division was an MMO. I was going to say there's only one MMO here, but I forgot the Division was an MMO. Yeah,
me too.
Hyper Light Drift, I mean, I guess it's an RPG. I'm not sure I'd put Hyper Light Drifter in this category.
I don't know where else I'd put it, though.
No, yeah, me neither. Action, I would put it in an action game, actually. It's definitely action, but it's like 2D action, so we'll probably lose that one too.
Yeah.
Unfortunate.
Sport game of the year, Steep. Why not?
I mean, FIFA, Madden, MLB, and NBA are just the same games.
The rest, yeah.
With, I mean, they improve it. Certainly, they improve it every time.
Yeah.
But it's just the same basic. Yeah, it's the same basic idea. Because I mean, what are you gonna? That's what you want, and that's what makes money, and that's what people who play those games want. Like, I want a Madden game. I want to play football, and then maybe I want to make a career of a character I make. That's about it.
Yep. Strategy slash simulation game of the year.
What a twist.
Sid Meier's Civ 6.
Yeah. Although, this is a good, it must have been a pretty decent one, pretty decent close race. Especially if you took Civ out of it, I don't even know what it would be. Banner Saga 2, I mean, Deus Ex Go wouldn't win. It's a mobile game.
Probably XCOM.
XCOM 2, which I would see probably win too, and Fire Emblem Fates, but Fire Emblem, I mean, it's a big name in strategy.
Immersive reality, technical achievement.
Not reality game of the year. Sorry. We're looking at different lists. Go ahead. Who won this one?
Eagle Flight.
Oh, yeah. That one looked cool.
And I guess, you know, why not?
Why not?
It looked cool. I wouldn't really have anything to say to it.
Yeah, I don't have that kind of VR equipment.
Immersive reality game of the year.
Here we go. This
Super Hot VR. And Super Hot is so good, I can't see it losing to anything at anything because, it's so good.
It's pretty fun. And it must be a real mind fuck in VR.
In VR, yeah.
But near the end, maybe like 3/4 of the way through the story when they start fucking with your brain.
Yeah. I need a VR headset for this. Dice Sprite Award?
What the fuck is that?
Couldn't tell you. But Inside won it.
Oh, sprite-based games, maybe?
That would probably be it. I think that... Firewatch.
No, Firewatch is in it? I can't find it on my... Dice Sprite Award. Yeah. 1979, Black Friday, Firewatch, Super Hot is in the sprites either, so I have no idea what that means.
Carry on. Handheld game of the year? Pokemon Sun and Moon? Hell yeah. Mobile game of the year? Pokemon Go? Yep. Yeah.
It's not really a shock either, considering it made a huge impact. Sure, for a fairly limited time, but it made a huge impact when it came out.
Outstanding achievement in online gameplay, Overwatch.
Also,
El Gasp. Outstanding achievement in game design, Overwatch.
I would agree with that because of all those powers and how they work together and everything looks pretty.
Yeah, and how the loot system works and how it multiplayer works and how it rewards everyone all the time and you always feel good every game you play.
It's very good. It's very good.
Stupendous. Outstanding achievement in game direction or inside. Sure.
Sure, I don't know.
I mean, it's pretty and it's cool and stuff. Game of the year, Overwatch.
Oh, what a twist.
What a twist, Overwatch.
I like, looking at the other game, I mean, did Battlefield 1 win? Yeah, it won sound. But it was also up for, it was up for a lot, but didn't win a lot. But it's up for game of the year. Inside, also up for game of the year. Uncharted 4, also up for game of the year. And then you got Pokemon Go, up for game of the year.
How did that happen?
Crazy. Why would they do that?
Doom should be there instead of Pokemon Go.
It's crazy.
Or Titanfall.
I don't know why Pokemon Go is up for Game of the Year. It's crazy.
Just about
putting a mobile or even a handheld game up for Game of the Year is crazy to me.
Even one that has, honestly, not much game.
No. It's great on a mobile thing. It's great for what it does.
Mobile experience, I would say.
It's barely a game. I will give you that. All right, now continuing on to our next thing. Speaking of winning 8 or 9 awards at the DICE Awards, our next point is Overwatch is such a tease because they have over the past week released 2 or 3 teasing the 24th character.
Sure, there's a few
for their roster. There was I can't remember her name now, but I didn't link it because I'm dumb. Somebody from Numbani, this is like, you know, how they release the news, the in-world news report things.
Yeah.
I love that. I love how they do this. So somebody from Numbani won a genius grant, effectively, because of her work in AI and robotics. And in sort of the article thing, she's like, it's a secret now, but I want to build something to protect us all, like the new OR-15s, I think is what they're called. And then a couple of days later, there was an attack at the Numbani airport that somebody escaped from, and he beat up a bunch of OR-15s. And there's a picture, which is now reflected in the starting zone of the Numbani airport in the Numbani map.
Oh, that's cool.
Where they have, there's a couple of them on the ground, and there's one in a big crater in the... Oops, I hit my mic. Sorry, guys. Big crater in the wall. One's, stuck in it.
That's cool.
And... as was reported before by people who've seen some things from the PTR, it's now officially on the PTR. I think this is also all PTR stuff. I don't think it's a general release yet. The Doomfist gauntlet on the payload, broken. Doomfist gauntlet is gone. Payload thing is open. And it's the schematics for Doomfist is also gone.
Sweet.
But earlier, Jeff Kaplan said that the 24th hero is not who you think it is.
So it's not so Doomfist?
Not Doomfist. Or that's a complete thing that throw you off. So either it's... and the person who won the grant was there when the attack happened in the airport. So the prevailing theory now, since Jeff Kaplan said it's not who you think it is, so probably not Doomfist, unless he's straight up lying to us.
misdirection.
Could be something that she makes sort of a counter to Doomfist, a counter of what she saw. Oh, those robots that I just said, I want to build something to practice like them. Did not do that at all.
Right.
So I need to build something better. And she's AI robotics genius. And she's supposedly very, very young, so she won't be the character. But she could build the character. This is the prevailing theory at the moment.
And if that thing is broken, what are they escorting now?
Broken payload, I guess, so far? Yeah, I don't know. Yep, pretty much. But it's very interesting. Doomfist has got to be coming soon.
Yeah.
Or somebody also has the idea that it's going to be a... team versus him kind of idea, like a single, not a single player, but like another thing with a versus an AI. Okay. Him, where he's more powerful than the team because he's like a.
It would be boss great battle. If this game had more co-op consistently.
Yeah, like the Halloween event. If they had kept the Halloween event in some sort of custom match thing, I would have loved that.
Yeah.
Like they're doing with the Capture the Flag.
Yeah.
Because sometimes I want to play Overwatch, but I don't want to play, even just versus AI, I don't want to do that. I just want to play with friends and do some shit.
Just do Horde mode.
Yeah, just do Horde mode. Sometimes I want to play, I don't want Horde mode to be everything, But sometimes I just want to play Horde mode.
Yeah. And sometimes, you know, it might be nice to get some, like, in-world sort of story scenarios and just co-op through them.
They were, I was listening to the Gamers In podcast, named up, on Thursday, I want to say, and they're actually, they're sort of subject of the week they were talking about was that the game studios, specifically Blizzard and Valve, who were sort of going away from single-player experiences onto just multiplayer, consistent patching things.
Right.
Like WoW and Overwatch and Heroes and all that. And me and my friend Jimmy got into a discussion of story, the story in Overwatch that he doesn't like it because it doesn't affect the game. And I realized when we were having this discussion that we were in a semantics argument because I was saying lore. Because the lore in Overwatch is great. Mm-hmm. Overwatch doesn't have any story.
Right.
Period, dot, end. It does not. The story affects the game. Story is what you do in the game. Yeah. But Overwatch has great lore.
So, like, in story, it would be things like the gauntlet missing.
Yes, because that affected the game. Yeah.
Right.
But Tracer, and specifically it was that the Tracer movie Widowmaker thing that we've seen in multiple shorts and stuff. Mm-hmm. But it doesn't affect any of the game at all. Right. I mean, except for maybe a line when you guys start on the same team. Mm-hmm. Maybe a line or two. But it doesn't affect the game, so it's just lore. I would like some in-game story. That's all I'm saying. This was my long-winded way of saying some in-game story would be great.
It would be
as much as I love the lore and the shorts and the motion comics and all that stuff.
Yeah,
a little bit of in-game story would be fantastic.
But it's nice to have the lore.
It is because it's great lore. He's great. All right, let's move it on up to the comics and books side with the Jeffersons. I wish I had some sort of news on the Jeffersons comic or something. That would be amazing.
The Jeffersons comic. Oh, boy.
That would be amazing. But it's never going to happen. So let's get on.
Never say never.
Let's find your path, Andrew. Find our path. So Dynamite Entertainment is releasing a new Pathfinder comic event thing, because Dynamite Entertainment is the Pathfinder comics. Pathfinder being what D&D 3.5 turned into.
Yep.
Because they didn't do their licensing for it, so they could the people who made Pathfinder could literally just take D&D 3.5.
And take all the money.
Yeah. That's fine. 3.5 was a lot. Unless you had a good person, they would get a good, both players and DM, you would get lost in the amount of shit you could have and do in 3.5.
Mathfinder?
It wasn't even math necessarily. I mean, there was some of that, but
there's a fair bit. There's numbers abound.
There was, because there is everything abound in 3.5, yeah. Which is great. It gives you a lot of freedom, which is why Pathfinder is so popular.
It's too much freedom.
But there is sometimes where it is too much freedom.
I mean, you can just group things under the same skill that's good enough. Why not?
Yeah.
Instead of use rope. I'm so good at use rope.
Use rope.
It's the only skill I remember off the top of my head. I thought it was dumb then, and I still think it was dumb.
A little bit of two breaking it down, yeah. Anyway.
I don't want to put skill points in these.
These are new, new, and these are comics are canonical. So this is the next series of canonical comics tied to the popular Paizo RPG game, Pathfinder.
Paizo.
Is that what it was? Yeah.
It was Paizo.
Yeah. So another thing is why it's cool. It's coming in May, but it's also Runescars, Pathfinder Runescars, which is an interesting thing. There's a similar thing in D&D, Spellscarred. Seems kind of similar.
Yeah.
It probably started in 3.5, and then they renamed it in fourth edition after Pathfinder was a thing. So it's going to be written by Pathfinder co-creators F. Wesley Schneider, who has written a bunch of Pathfinder comics, and James L. Sutter, who, shock, written a bunch of Pathfinder comics.
Crazy.
And art from Ediano Silva, who is art on Grim Fairy Tales, which is good art, and Hellchild the Unholy, I've never heard of. So, basically, I'm just going to read the blurb here, because it actually sounds pretty cool. The Pathfinder heroes receive a desperate plea to unmask a killer stalking the Chaos Grip city of Corvosa. A new queen has ascended the city's crimson throne, and now deadly armored hell knights and gray maidens clash in the streets. With the help of a cagey adventuring detective, the heroes race down the perilous trail of a brutal murderer, only to realize that the next target might be one of their own. And then So that sounds pretty cool. I like it. I like the idea, crazy or KG adventuring detective. For some odd reason, I only see John Constantine. I don't know why.
John Constantine would be a pretty good D&D character.
Yeah, he would be. He'd be a sorcerer. Actually, he'd probably be a mage, a wizard.
Yeah.
It's not natural to him. He studies it. He knows how to use the items and stuff. He'd probably be a wizard.
Yeah. Multi-class.
Multi-class? Multi-pass. So, you know, I like Pathfinder in story. So this will be cool. May, y'all. Sorry.
Sorry.
It's your fault.
Sorry.
It's your fault, by the way.
Sorry.
You and Justin do that all the time.
Oh, like, man, all the time. Yeah. Yeah, it all started when we, like, did a 5 match, and we just all made, and then we just all pressed it the whole match.
Assholes.
The whole other team must have been rattled.
Anyway, unless they played Rocket League, because that's what you do in Rocket League, except you don't have a sound in Rocket League. You just
calculated.
Oh, what a save. Thanks. Calculated. No chat for 3 more seconds.
Wait.
Anyway.
Calculated.
Anyway, next on our docket for comics and books is Zelda's Twilight. So we definitely talked about this when it was first announced.
Yep.
This is a fact that I remember, but now we have a release date that the Twilight Princess manga adaptation is coming on March 14th. This press release is so wrong. It makes me laugh how wrong it is. So maybe they're just missing a word. But it says Viz Media blah 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 announces the publication of the manga adaptation, and here's where it gets wrong, of The Legend of Zelda's most famous video game. The Legend of Zelda Twilight Princess. I was like, one of? Perhaps one of. I'd give you one of Legend of Zelda's most famous video games.
Yeah.
But it's not the most famous, nor the most popular. It's very good. I love Twilight Princess.
I wonder if it sold more units.
Oh, maybe. Maybe it sold more units. And I guess that could be what they're basing on famous.
Yeah.
Quote, unquote. But it's just wrong. But so basically, yeah. I love the story and all of the sort of other stuff you get in Twilight Princess. I love how it was a little more grim than everything else previously.
Yeah, it was cool.
So I'm really looking forward to this. I don't think I need to tell you. Do I need to tell people what Twilight Princess was about? Should I do that? Should I read the blurb?
Sure, why not?
All right, I guess I'll read the blurb. Once upon a time, wizards tried to conquer the sacred realm of Hyrule. The spirits of light sealed the wizards' power within the Shadow Crystal and banished them to the Twilight Realm beyond the Mirror of Twilight. Now, an evil menace is trying to fight Midna, Princess of the Twilight Realm, and the fragments of the Shadow Crystal to gain the power to rule over both the Twilight Realm and the World of Light. And then Farmer Link is going to have to come and save the world.
Yep, good also, old Farmer Link.
Sometimes turn into a wolf.
Yep, because reasons.
Because reasons.
Also, can confirm, Twilight Princess outsold Ocarina of Time.
Because it did.
It had an unfair advantage. A, modern era.
Yeah.
B, 2 consoles. C, release title.
Yep, it did. It had major advantages. Mostly modern age. Even on everything else, modern age is the biggest advantage that it could have. Because back, you didn't buy as many, you just didn't sell as many video games in an N64 era as you do six years ago. Anyway. So I guess that's where they're getting most famous from. But then I'd put most popular. More games I put most popular. Yeah. I'd translate that. But anyway, regardless, they're wrong. Press release is wrong. But anyway, moving on to our next thing, which is really cool to me. Mostly because of what it's about. So, Sword Quest for a quarter. I'd buy that for a quarter.
I'd buy 4 for a dollar.
So Dino Entertainment, who's also releasing an Atari poster book, because they released the Art of Atari like a year ago or something, where it was just normal size. They're releasing it in a poster book size.
They're
bigger. So Dino Entertainment, because they have a deal with Atari now. They're now going to publish the first Atari comic book series in 30 years, and it's going to be Sword Quest. Do you know what Sword Quest is, Andrew?
I believe I have heard of it.
You ever heard of Sword Quest? You have, because it came up on at least, probably Good Job Brain, name drop. It was a podcast that they talked about it. It was an old Atari game. So let me read the blurb about this comic, and then we're going to get into Sword Quest, because I think Sword Quest is amazing. So, Peter Case was a boy on a quest. The quest to win the prizes from Atari's Sword Quest Challenge. He was counting down the days to the release of the final game, Air World, only to be shattered when the news surfaced that it would never be released. Now, Peter is an adult, and things aren't going well. The bad news is he has to move back in with his mother. The good news is she still has all his old Atari stuff. With nothing else to look forward to, his obsession with Sword Quest is reignited in a more daring and fantastic way. So I don't know exactly what this comic's going to be about. But I'm going to check it out, because one, they're going to do a Sword Quest Zero for a quarter, which is a thing people are doing now, apparently, because this is like the third story in 2 months or so. We've talked about somebody doing a Zero or first issue for a dollar-ish.
Yeah.
A dollar or less.
Seems to be popular.
I mean, it's a good way. It's genius. It's just fucking genius. So, I want to talk about Sword Quest. Andrew, I see you Googled it. Do you know what Sword Quest is?
I'm watching a Let's Play. I have no idea.
Oh, okay. Well, Sword Quest was, in point of fact, technically Sword Quest never really existed. Sword Quest never finished, because it was four interrelated games. Earthworld, Fireworld, Waterworld, Airworld. The company intended that... So they had this competition that the... First, so it was like logic puzzles type things. You'd get a code. At the end of it, when you beat it, you'd get a code or a phrase or something to send to Atari. And the certain number of people who did it first would then could get invited to the competition and to win a prize.
That would be so cool.
The prize... Oh, dude. Okay, so the prize for the winner of the Earthworld was the Talisman of Penultimate Truth. The talisman was made of 18-carat solid gold with 12 diamonds and the birthstone of the 12 zodiac signs. Okay? Thousands of dollars. They were all this kind of thing. Firewall, same idea. Competition. Blah, blah, blah. Chalice of Light. There it is. Chalice of Light was the thing of the Fire World. Come to us. It was made of gold and platinum, adorned with citrines, diamonds, green jades, pearls, rubies, and sapphires. These each had a value of $25,000.
Wow.
I think Michael Rideout won the Chalice, and he says he still has it, but I think the sort of, or the Talisman of Penultimate Truth might have gone missing. They don't know. Oh, Bell melted it down. To pay taxes.
Oh.
But he kept, I'm pretty sure. Talisman of Penultimate Truth. Oh, wait, and it came with a sort of small white sword attachment to the thing, which he kept the sword, but he melted the thing down. Pay taxes. But apparently the sword was stolen. That was the thing. Waterworld, which was only released through Atari Eclipse, they didn't general release it. They only released it to some smaller amount of people who were really into Atari. But they never did the contest for it. I assume because Atari ran out of fucking money.
Yeah. You remember the great video game crash?
Yeah, this is probably about now.
Yeah.
the winner of the contest for Waterworld, I hope that didn't break everything. Let me see. Oh, okay, we're still recording. Don't hit the wires.
I didn't know that was there.
The winner of the Waterworld contest is supposed to receive the Crown of Life, which is made of gold and crusted with aquamarines, diamonds, green tourmalines, rubies, and sapphires.
Oh, man. That would be so great.
Air World never came out. There's rumors that they made... there was a couple of... two prototypes rumored to exist. And all these things were all... They were all... Like, the layout of the games were all based on, like... The layout of Earthworld was based on Zodiac, and the layout of Fireworld was based on the Yggdrasil, the World Tree, or the Tree of Life, or something like that.
Oh, that's cool.
They're all based on something. Airworld was supposed to be the Philosopher's Stone. The winner of the Airworld contest was supposed to receive a Philosopher's Stone, a large piece of white jade encased in 18-carat gold box encrusted with diamonds, emeralds, citrines, and rubies. $25,000.
I think they were... played a pretty big hand in crashing the video game.
The winners, the winners of those four, right? It was called Sword Quest. The winner of those four then got to, they'd go into a competition and they'd win the sword of something or other, which was $100,000 on its own, the equivalent price of all four of the other prizes.
Man.
This is what Atari did with Sword Quest. And I just love that it happened, half happened, even though I'm pretty sure it would, yeah, they were probably a direct cause of the video game crash.
Yeah.
It's a lot of money.
That's a lot of money, man. And this is like ancient money.
And each game came with a comic book, and that's how you got the puzzles. Like, you finish your puzzle, and they'd give you a page and a panel, basically, and you'd find the word, and then those words would make a phrase, and the phrase you would send into Atari to get invited to the competition, and then you might find the most, and you get a different version of the game at the competition, and the person who found the most clues in 90 minutes won the competition. Man, so the competition worked.
That's
amazing, okay?
That's a lot.
It's fucking amazing. Yeah, I just love Sword Quest. That Sword Quest wins. And I don't know what the Sword Quest comic is going to be about, but I don't care. I'm into it. It's for a quarter, okay? It's for a quarter. I don't know when the release date is, though. Just 25 cents. It doesn't actually say, tell me. I don't think where the release date is, but it's going to be
March.
Solicited in the March 27 previous number catalog, zero. Which means it'll probably, oh, stated release in May. I was going to say, which means it'll come in a few months after that. There it is. Stated for release in May. Because the comic book distributors thing of each month is get sent to the people who run your FLCS, right? Find the local comic book shop. And so they can order, if they use Diamond distributors.
Logistics.
So they can order however many numbers of whatever they want to order.
I gotcha.
And you can get one yourself, I think, and then go to your comic book store and ask them to order for you. Depending on your comic book store, if your comic book store does orders, and if they don't, then they're not friendly. You drop that F.
They're just local.
They're just local. All right. Now for the last thing, which is also really cool, we got Hank's Tales. So as you may or may not know, Tom Hanks loves to write on typewriters. Very specifically,
he
loves typewriters.
He made an entire like iPad app.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was
really cool. I had that for a long time.
So he's going to be doing he's going to publish a book called Uncommon Type, Some Stories, and it's going to be a group of 17 short fiction tales, all themed around his passion for typewriters, apparently. And I love groups of short story books. I think those are very, usually, I mean, if the writers are good, it's very great. I love groups of, I mean, I think it's worth more sometimes to me. You're going to get all those stories, you know, for the approximately the same price. And he has written, he has published book or short stories in, I want to say, the New Yorker, in other like news areas. So that'll be cool. I don't know if that has a date yet. I also got this from a British news source, so even if the date is here, it's going to be wrong. Because at the end, they talk about this person is going to be publishing it simultaneously with this place in the U.S.
I don't see a date,
but it'll be this year. But it's going to be awesome, because it's Tom Hanks.
Tom Hanks is
pretty awesome.
And typewriters are pretty cool. I like typewriters. I'm a fan.
Great. Hanks Writer, by the way, was the name of the app. Hanx Writer.
Mm-hmm.
Which is, maybe I should just change, I'm going to, excuse me, will I change what I wrote in our show notes?
Hanks Writer.
Hanks Tales.
Oh, yeah.
And, so we don't have a date yet, but it'll be probably this year. He began writing the book a couple years ago, 2015.
So
it's probably done. It'll be great. Look forward to that. Check your friendly local bookstore or, you know, Amazon if you don't want to go out to your chapters or whatever it is in the rest of the world.
Or out of your house in general, yeah.
That's Andrew.
That is me.
Andrew doesn't want to go out of his house.
You click Prime. It comes in like the next day. Boom.
2 days.
Well, usually next day here.
Well, yes, but that's because most of their stuff ships from Mississauga, and that is less than an hour down the road.
Yep. Pretty great.
Yeah, we used to, when we, was it Fan Expo? Maybe it was Anime North one year. But our hotel, on from where our hotel was, to get to whatever convention we were going, we'd drive over the bridge, and from the on the right side, you could see there's the big-ass Amazon warehouse. I was like, oh, that's why it gets the cameras so fast.
That's huh. where the magic is.
That's why I know it's in Mississauga. Mm-hmm. Mississauga. All right. That is what we have for this week. You can find us on Twitter. I am at Dud75.
I'm at DUP3.
And you can find the show at Weekly News. Yeah, GWEEKLYNEWS. We have a website that I was looking at when I was trying to say the Twitter, so I almost said .com. That's why I hesitated on our Twitter handle. Mm-hmm. But our website is weeklynews.com, where our show notes are. You can find that link to the YouTube for the Doctor Who trailer. You can leave comments at the bottom of every page if you want to talk to us that way and tell us about if you're going to be there for Doctor Who. Or you could email us at feedback@weeklynews.com.
And tell us that you are or are not being mm-hmm. a Doctor Who.
Mm-hmm. Or we also have Facebook, facebook.com/weeklynews.
You can also tell us there.
Yep. Or you can tell us on our Discord server, which we have. There's a pinned tweet, a pinned Facebook post, and a little widget on our website for you to join it. So you can join, you can talk to us there through text in the text channel things, or through voice if somebody's around.
Yep.
We're often on our computers.
Quite often, actually.
Mm-hmm. It's a fact. And you can find us on iTunes, and we would really appreciate a rating and review.
Of 5 stars, please.
Or, you know, I say whatever you think we deserve.
Honestly, yeah. At this point, I'll take anything.
Wow, Andrew. You sound so terrible. I want you to know that.
But, I don't know. Do people use iTunes ever anywhere?
I don't know. I do.
Well, I mean, yeah, but...
But we also went through that. Is my phone podcast app iTunes?
Yeah, that's kind just of. How Apple does iTunes things, but like...
People review. That's a thing. People totally do it.
But if you're not on an iPhone, do you use iTunes?
I don't know.
If you Maybe. Do, give us a 5-star I mean, review and they let
must.
Me know.
They must. You've looked at our whatchamacallits? There's statistics? Four, yeah, there's 4 users, and yeah. only 2 of them are us.
Yeah.
So there's 2 people using iTunes on weird. A computer. So take that. Anyway, as I said, that's all we have for this week. So thanks for putting up with our shit. And we'll see you next week.
Bye-bye.